From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block, and we continue our conversation with E.J. Dionne, columnist of The Washington Post, and David Brooks, columnist with The New York Times. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you.
Jack.
Wanted to pick up where we left off, which was looking forward to New Hampshire in a week. What would you say, how do these candidates retool their strategies for that state, given the results that we saw tonight in Iowa? David Brooks, first.
First of all, I think this is representative of New Hampshire. When you followed Iowa early in the campaign, most of the people in the crowds were over 70. But in the last 2 weeks, people who were families, younger people, professionals, started showing up at the events. And what Edwards did in particular was he dropped the idea that he was laden with plans. And he just played up his likability and his eagerness, his desire, in sort of a happy way, to take on George W. Bush. And he would just say, I'm going to beat Bush. I'm dreaming about beating Bush. I just am looking forward to this. This is going to be the highlight of my life. And people just love that sort of happy warrior spirit. And I can't imagine that in New Hampshire, it's going to be much different.
And E.J. Dionne, you are in New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
One of the candidates who's focused his attention there, as opposed to in Iowa, is General Wesley Clark, along with Joe Lieberman. Wesley Clark's been rising in the polls, if the polls are to be believed. How does this shape up next week as all these folks come head-to-head?
This becomes one great fight because, you know, as of a week ago, people were saying, gee, Wesley Clark is coming up. Maybe he can beat Dean in New Hampshire. Now, all of a sudden, you have the potential for a three or even four-way race up here because Edwards is clearly going to get something out of this. But Kerry gets a huge bump, and this is a real vindication of what seemed to a lot of people like a strange strategy. Kerry, the New Englander from Massachusetts right over the border, was falling way behind in New Hampshire when Dean was on his roll. And so he went to Iowa and campaigned hard to win Iowa in order to affect the outcome in New Hampshire. Now, that sounds like a bank shot, but he sure pulled off the first part of that bank shot. He, too, is coming up in the polls. I think the interesting question is, where is the bottom for Howard Dean? He's been slipping simultaneously in New Hampshire and in Iowa. Is there a bottom here? I think Dean very much needs a new strategy if he's going to have a chance to win New Hampshire.
I want to bring Andy Kohut into this conversation. Andy's with the Pew Research Center, and Andy, you've been studying the entrance polls of folks going into the caucuses tonight in Iowa. As you look forward to New Hampshire and thinking about what you've learned tonight, where do you see this headed?
Well, in response to what EJ just said, what Dean has going for him in New Hampshire is that he does well among liberals, and these other fellows, Edwards and Kerry, had support among moderates and conservatives, but they're going to split that support with Clark, and if Dean can hang on to a disproportionate share of the liberal vote, he could do better, certainly much better than he did here. But clearly, if electability plagues Dean the way it plagued him in Iowa, he's in for a bunch of trouble up there in New Hampshire. I mean, among the people who said that they were that they wanted a candidate who could beat Bush, 37% chose Kerry, 30% chose Edwards, 21% chose Dean. And these people were the late deciders who came in after Dean had sort of made a mess out of his message and his campaign.
Dean is obviously... Go ahead, David.
Yeah, if I could just disagree a bit, I'd sort of hesitate to disagree with Andy Cohut. But from the conversations I heard out here, there was very little ideological labeling. I got a sense a lot of people thought they were all basically very similar in their policy orientation. And the people were very loosely attached to any of the candidates. They would flip-flop almost hourly from one candidate to the other by the who they'd heard, who impressed them, who they thought could beat Bush. And that volatility, you know, even yesterday, a majority of voters here said they weren't firmly committed to one candidate or the other. And so, you know, I think in New Hampshire, we could see that same level of volatility day by day, you know, hour by hour, with people very quick to switch.
Andy, go ahead, AJ.
Well, what I was going to say is I ran into the same thing, and one of the striking things is the Democratic Party is actually very united. Most of the Democrats pondering this race did not intensely dislike any of these candidates, and they usually, as David said, had two or three in mind that they were toying with, at least two and sometimes three. And Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but what strikes me about the entrance poll numbers is that Dean really didn't sweep the liberals at all. In fact, Kerry ran ahead of him, and Edwards ran about even with him, so that he was not. He always said he was a centrist, and I guess a lot of liberals may have said that, seen that too.
Andy, is that right?
That's true, but Dean got very little support from the moderates and conservatives. And when we get to New Hampshire, we're going to get a larger percentage of people saying that they're moderates or conservatives. You know, 58% of these people told the exit pollsters that they were liberals. My guess that is, David Nijay, that that's going to be a smaller number up in New Hampshire.
I agree with that.
Let me ask you something.
That's right.
Andy Cohut, Dean had modeled his campaign or focused his campaign largely around his opposition to the war in Iraq. And I wonder, in terms of the numbers you were seeing tonight, in terms of what people were saying was their main issue they were voting on, not that many people said that was their main issue.
It was secondary. The economy and health care were named twice as often by about 29 or 28%. 14% named the war in Iraq as the top issue that they were thinking about. And Dean got about 40% of those voters. He was the anti-war candidate in an election where anti-war sentiment wasn't so dominant, domestic issues were.
EJ and David, to you both briefly for a question. There's been the criticism of this front-loading of the caucuses and this focus on Iowa and New Hampshire, that these states don't terribly well represent the rest of the country. They're very homogeneous, largely white. The people who tend to vote in these caucuses and primaries may not represent most Democrats. Does the result tonight put the lie to that, or does it back that theory up?
I think that they are demographically utterly unrepresentative, and in the reasoning process that I ran into when I was in Iowa, it was the same reasoning process going on among Democrats all over the country. And we're going to move quickly to more demographically diverse states, so we'll find out.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry to cut you short. E.J. Dionne, columnist with the Washington Post in Concord, New Hampshire tonight. David Brooks, columnist for the New York Times, who's in Des Moines. And here in our studio, Andy Cohut of the Pew Research Center. And that's the sound of celebration at the Kerry headquarters tonight in Des Moines. John Kerry hasn't spoken yet, but the man who's taken second place, Senator John Edwards, did speak with CNN's Larry King. He said his message resonated with caucusgoers.
A message is finally getting through, my message of hope and optimism and trying to build one America where everyone gets a chance to do what they're capable of doing. You know, the problem early on was there were so many negative attacks, it was hard to get that message through and for people to hear it. But finally, here at the end, caucus goers in Iowa heard it, and that's the reason for this momentum and this surge.
Howard Dean came in a disappointing third place in the Iowa caucuses tonight with 18% of the delegates. He offered congratulations to Kerry and Edwards.
No, well, I think Senator Kerry is doing very well, and so is Senator Edwards. I want to congratulate them both. But we're determined to win. We're determined in the end to win the nomination. We've got a 50-state organization. We're going to go on. I'm delighted to finish in the top three, which is so I guess, they say that if you're in the top three, you get winnowed in. So I guess we got winnowed in. And certainly we would have liked to have done better, but we worked hard. We got a lot of great people working for us, and on to New Hampshire.
That's former Vermont Governor Howard Dean speaking earlier on CNN. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.